All right. Good morning. Good morning. How are we, guys? Good? Good. Good. Well, first, thanks. Obviously, guys, this is Jim Bossler. Jim and I are longtime friends from camp, but Jim leads worship at our Hudson campus, so we are blessed to have him. So, Jim, thanks for leading us in worship this morning. Thanks, team, as always, guys. Appreciate you. Well, welcome. Deacons, if you could come forward and take offering. If you are a guest, then welcome. And I pray that you stay just that, a guest. So feel free to just let the plate pass. No need to give. If you are a member here, then yes, thanks for worshiping in that way. Lots of stuff going on at Highland Square, and excited to be a part of it. So just to give you a rundown, this is actually the last day for the school drive for Emmanuel Christian Academy. We were able to give them what Renee Suber, the principal, would say, just an abundant blessing for that. So yeah, big hand to that. So really cool. Stay tuned for where we'll try to do more and more things with Emmanuel Christian as we really truly partner with them in ministry here. So it's fun. I would just want to say this. I said it last time, but every chance that I get to be here and sit in this place, I just want you to know how much we love you, and I love you, and my wife and I, Jenna, love you. Love doing life with you guys, so it's fun to partner together in that. So, the marriage intensive, super fun. So next week, we'll start the marriage intensive. So this is officially the last day for those that want to procrastinate any longer that to sign up for the marriage intensive. Jake and Susan will be in the back to just answer any questions that you may have. And just to give you another little push, Jenna and I loved the first one. Felt the Holy Spirit move in incredible ways. There were couples that rededicated their marriage when they were there. There was actually a couple that shared their vows actually there and did another ceremony. So really powerful, powerful time. So yeah, just another little kick if you want to go. Also, small groups. So for a lot of the small groups here in Highland Square, we take the summer off. Sometimes there are some small groups that continue to go on, which is awesome. The small groups are going to officially start up here again, though. I think it's the second week of September. You can get more information. I think Chris Schroeder's in the back at the welcome table. You can get more information from Chris. Also, Sarah Cross is updating our website with some of the new teams and new groups that are going to lead those. So you can get on the website here shortly and see all the small groups. But yeah, if you're not a part of a small group, strongly encourage you to be there. Sometimes we have a bigger church, and a small group is a great way to get connected to do life in a more intimate way than just coming on Sundays. So. And yeah, last but not least, I have the honor to invite our guest speaker, who is far from a guest, he is family, but Mr. Vontaire Thomas. So let's give Vontaire a Highland Square welcome.
Yeah. Love you, bro.
Love you too, man. You know it.
Yes, sir. So just publicly, Vontaire, thanks for you. Thanks for the blessing you've been in my life. We've had an opportunity to become friends now for about, I'd say, 6 months. Get to know your family and your kiddos, love them. Mm-hmm. But personally, thanks for your accountability in my life and my friendship. So Amen. It's awesome. Amen. Would you join me in praying for Vontaire? Father, thanks. Thanks for just the way you have led each of us to this place here. Thanks for the way that the band and Jim led us into a time of worship with you. Lord, I pray that you are pleased. I pray that you are honored. I pray that you are glorified. Yes, I pray that you are made famous in this place.
Yes, sir.
Father, as we get to hear from you through Vontaire, Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, would you fill Vontaire? Holy Spirit, would you fill this place? Would you fill us? Would you enable us to hear from you? Would you use Vontaire powerfully? Lord, I pray that Vontaire would feel the power and the strength of your Spirit.
Yes, sir.
as he tells us exactly what you want us to hear. Lord, thanks for the man of God he is. Thanks for the father that he is. Thanks for the brother that he is. Love him dearly. But again, it is nowhere close to the love that you have shown us. Yes. We know love because of what you have done for us and done on the cross. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory in this place. Love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Vonterra Thomas. For some of you that probably do not recognize me, and as he said, I am not a guest. Just one of the quiet people that come to church and praise God and try to shed a smile here, a handshake there, a hug there. Pretty bad with remembering names, so please forgive me. I remember faces, though, and I think that's what's important. I will get the name right, though. I was just told I got a test coming to remember names, so I got to do better. Today is August the 24th, 2000. Excuse me, today is August the 25th. I think I'm stuck on the 24th because yesterday was my 17-year wedding anniversary. To my beautiful wife, Raina Thomas, and she is definitely the better half of me, but unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to really celebrate our anniversary because I was busy, buried in trying to figure what am I going to say to the people this morning. But I thank God that he done something marvelous and awesome that I only feel he can do. And that is when he kind of intervened into our lives or into our situations. I'm going to take a page out of Hollywood's book where they kind of give you the end part of the movie at the beginning. You know, when I first started to do that, it was kind of confusing to me because he was wondering, like, what's going on? But I'm going to do that because there is something I wanted to share with you that just this morning as I was on my way here, will share with me. And the message says, "Good morning, sir. I'm looking forward to hearing and feeling the love you display today. I hope that you can speak to a crowd just as beautifully as you can speak to a stranger in your home. We all have been blessed with gifts, and your gift felt verbiage is definitely a gift to us all. See you soon, my brother." As I stated, that was a message that I received on my way to church this morning. We're going to talk about, and if I had to title the message, it is message titled, "Dying is Necessary." Dying is necessary. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, if you can turn there with me, Romans 12, and I know the technology age has been there already. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and it reads, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Amen. Just to back up a bit to give you a bit of a context, the book of Romans is written by Paul. Paul, previously known as Saul of Tarsus, one of those really bad dudes that used to persecute Christians. Amen. That was his job, that anybody that he found of the way, he would bring them before the chief priests. Paul was a very devoted, if I can say, individual. He was very committed. He was very dedicated to the cause that he was called to perform. I would like to draw analogy with the dedication that he had with one person that goes into, let's just say, the military and enlists in boot camp and basic training. There's a sense of dedication that one has to have when you go into that said environment. And so as strenuous as it may be, the physicalness of being in boot camp and going through the training, it's really only about 20% physical, 80% mental. See, being in boot camp, a person like myself comes from a lifestyle of doing whatever I wanted to do. I call my own shots, I go where I want to go, I hang what I want to hang with. But something about going into a different environment such as boot camp causes for me now having to adapt to another system, another environment. See, I can't go along being who I used to be and then try to accommodate the system that I'm called to perform at, because I would not be who that armed services, whether it's the Army, Navy, who wants me to be or who they need me to be. And not just who they need me to be, for who my brothers that I may have to fight beside who needs for me to be. But that dedication and that training experience, we have to understand that there's a purpose behind that system. And in order for me to step into that system, I have to learn the necessary mentality of dying to myself. Dying to the things that I'm used to, because now I have a sergeant that's yelling at me every time I do something, right? And so what they do is they put everybody on the same plane. When you enter, and I'm not a military guy, I sit at home, watch it on my TV, and, you know, collect my data from there as God speaks. But I do have people in my life that have been in there. But when you go in, everybody get their hair shaved. Why? Because they want everybody to look the same, right? We all dress the same from head to toe, uniformed. We all make our bed exactly the same. Everything is about uniformity. That's to bring everybody to the common place, because what they're trying to do is get rid of the old you. Dying is necessary in order for you to step into the system that the armed services is trying to teach. I believe Paul is of the same mindset. Paul had to die to himself when Christ encountered him. Amen? When he was on the road to Damascus, he was on his way to perform his duties. That was to persecute women and men of the way. So Paul, when Christ encountered him, he had to stop what he was doing, because Christ stopped him dead in his tracks. He was no longer going to be known as Saul of Tarsus, but now he was going to be known as Paul. And even as Paul, we know Paul is a pretty bad dude even there, because he still is one that have written most of the New Testament for us to read and learn from. But from Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 11, Paul does a great deal of, I would like to say, theological explanations. There's a lot of different things going on in the book of Romans that he's trying to address. And so if you can imagine with me the plaintiff in a courtroom and the defendant in a courtroom, and then there's the judge. And the plaintiff is trying to bring their story and make their case, and now the defendant on the other side of that is trying to bring their case. But Paul is sitting in the middle as the apostle, because that which he said he received it directly from Christ. And he's standing upon the word of God just like a judge stands upon the law in the courtroom. So at this point of the argument, he comes now and says, now I beseech you. So in other words, I urge you, I exhort you, I beg you to hear me on this. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. What we believe helps to determine how we behave. Amen? What we believe helps to determine how we behave. If I am one to believe that eating organically is going to produce a healthier me, guess what? I'm going to eat organically, right? If I'm one to believe that going to the gym and working out is going to make me stay trim and fit, I'm going to behave accordingly. Scripture kind of puts it this way: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That which we believe, we're going to put forth the effort and the action behind what we believe. Amen? But even if I could go through, and I'm not, and explain to you every explanation that Paul is trying to preach to the church of Rome, even if I could, if that does not translate into living for you and I, what good is it? What good is it? The keys to the first part of Romans in our scripture text is dealing with relationships, right? Relationships. He says brethren, so he's talking to the church, just like I'm talking to Highland Square CCC. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, the first relationship that you and I need to have is a relationship with God. Amen? I believe scripture says it this way: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by way of me. That's Christ's words. So in order for us to have a relationship with God, we need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. I've heard a preacher say it this way: if the relationship on the vertical plane between God and us and him is intact, that has a direct correlation to the relationship that we have horizontally with the church, our brothers and sisters, with our enemies. Amen? God challenges us, right? Love your enemies, right? Well, we all have that sin nature. That's something else that Paul was dealing with in the very beginning. Everybody that he was talking to was on the same plane. We all were born into sin. None of us was righteous in and of our own selves, right? And so he dismissed the fact that there was any privilege mindsets there. He dismissed that by letting them know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Christ had to come to die for us while we were God's enemy. Does anybody hear me? While we were enemies with God, he had to die for us, because it says while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So the relationship with God is one of the first and important points, but the relationship with the body of Christ is just as important. There are, to determine how dedicated we are, I would like to bring to your mind three different points that the scripture is talking about. One, we present our bodies. Amen? God said our body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. So God dwells within the life of the believer. And Christ desires to be exalted in our bodies. I have to bring my body to a place where now my body is used as a living sacrifice unto God. The people of old, in the old time, when they heard the word sacrifice, they had to have the mindset that they would take their animal and that they had to atone, because the animal had to die, so blood had to be shed in order for them to have that right relationship with God. And I thank God that we don't have to go through that process anymore because of Jesus Christ. Amen? The Word of God says he is the perfect lamb that was slain. And he is that one sacrifice that done away with all other sacrifices, because none couldn't compare to his blood. That's what creates that level of relationship that we can have with God. Amen? And so we're to exalt him by our actions. We're to exalt him by yielding unto his leading. If the Spirit resides within us, then we need to be following what the Spirit has for us to do. But I don't know about you. Some time ago, when I first became a Christian, I didn't know about this Lord thing. I always thought that he just came to save me. Am I alone? I always thought that he just came to save me. If I confess that Jesus is Lord, even though it says that, but I always thought he just came because you know, I was messed up and I had a lot of things going on and I couldn't save myself, so he just decided to save me. Well, God sits as judge and he justifies us by his son for us having faith. I believe he told Abraham that it was accounted to him righteousness that he believed God by faith. Amen? So that same thing that he did with Abraham in times of old, he does with us by believing in him by faith. But then there's a process where this lordship now needs to take a turn, because that's something that I, Von Terra, have to join in with God into that transforming work that he desires to do in my life. That means I have something to do at that point. I have to yield. I have to submit. I have to surrender. Why? Dying is necessary. The second point I would like to make is we present our minds. We present our minds. The world is after all of us for control over our mind, right? We can't go anywhere, we can't look at anything without some kind of message being presented. Marketing here, marketing there. I'm not thinking about it, marketing. As a kid, I can remember growing up in the neighborhood, or even as an adult, I would say, I'm guilty still to this. I can be going down the street, we can be leaving church right now, not thinking about barbecue, but as soon as the smell of the charcoal hits this area, now all of a sudden I'm thinking about stuff that I wasn't thinking about before, just because of that message, that charcoal flavoring, I'm getting hungry, I'm sorry. But that's what it does. It's a message. And so everywhere we turn, whether we're watching TV, there's a message. Never a message about God and Christ, because that's taboo. But it's always a message, because the world in some kind of way, shape, or form wants to control our thoughts. But God is saying in the scriptures that we need to do what? Renew our mind. When Christ was having a conversation with Nicodemus, Nicodemus was saying, how can I be born again? You know, he thought he had this thing all figured out. But in other words, Von, you can't continue to be the same Von from 20 to 25 years ago, right? I mean, if we look at the life of a baby is this tall and this wide or whatever, but that baby grows in progression. And so once it's able to be strengthened, it starts to crawl. Then it goes to walking. Well, the same thing with our lifestyle in Christ. We go from one place to another. And so as God continues to desire to be Lord over my life, I have to continue to die to myself, die to my own way of thinking, right? I'm not forgiven the same way. One of the biggest things within a marital relationship, in my opinion, is the word forgiveness. I was married in 2002. I don't forgive the same way I did in 2002 and 2019. God has done some things within me and done some things within us that he shows us the magnificence of his love. Why? Because he forgave us. And so that's the same way that we need to embrace other people. Whether it's our body of Christ, whether it's other relationships that we're not so keen to have, God sets the example of how we're to live in the midst of those. Amen? But God does desire to renew our mind. And in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says this: whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. God is so after our minds, because he knows that when we sow a thought, it would do what? Reap an action. If I think about something long enough, then something has to happen. I was told when I first got married never to mention or entertain the word divorce. Because once you bring it up into that relationship, now all of a sudden the enemy has something to play on. If you sow a thought, it reaps an action. If we sow an action, it reaps a habit, right? If we continue to go to the gym, right? We put in the work. Yeah, the first couple of days is not a habit yet, right? Our body's still getting used to that new routine. But as I continue to go, the body kind of gets used to it. Why? Because that workout now has become a habit. And it's not until I started to change that my body actually started to change more. Why? Because it's a part of my routine. It's a habit. I've sowed into that. If we sow a habit long enough, it reaps a character. Kemp talked about it a couple of weeks ago, capacity building. God is always trying to build our capacity up to receive more of him than we can present less of ourselves, if I can say it that way. It's not me I need to be portraying when I leave my house at home. It's Christ, because he lives within me, and Christ desires to live through me, right? But when we sow a character, it reaps a destiny. See, that's where Paul is. He was at that place where God designed and destined for him to be, that he would speak to the masses, and that he would be able to deal with the issues that they were dealing with. Because that was a part of who Paul was. He was devout, he was dedicated, and he was committed. The last part is we present our wills. Our wills. I know some people say, well, I have strong willpower. You may. But eventually, I believe that willpower will fail. Because Paul is one of the greatest individuals, aside from Christ, that had some conversation to entertain about this willpower thing. In the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 15, he says, "For what I am, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Right? He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." Willpower. We're talking about the individual that wrote the majority of the New Testament. Willpower alone is not going to get it. But when we yield to God's power, when we yield to God's will, then we can allow for God to do things that we're not capable of doing. Amen? It's no different than me standing up here before you. This is not my cup of tea. I'm not totally comfortable with this. But it's not about what I want to do. It's about what God wants to do. And in this particular week, for me, in preparing for this sermon, I had an encounter that I knew was a godsend. It got me from one place in my preparation for you this morning to a different place. And so the text message that I read to you this morning was from a brother that I just met on Wednesday. He works for a flooring company. And we've had two companies come out this particular week. And on Wednesday, I had this encounter with this gentleman. And from the time that he came into the front door, he was noticing how I was interacting with my kids. I'm not different. If you see me and my kids cutting up, even right now, if they started to cut up right now, I'll stop what I'm doing just to address them. That's just what I do. I'm always, try to always be the same way no matter what audience I'm in. So he seen me when he came to my front door because my daughter, 5 years old, was having a meltdown for some particular reason. Yeah, I know, when you're 5, you don't even have to have a reason to have a meltdown. You're 5. You got attitude just because. It's some change. I just don't know what it was. So she's having an attitude about something, and I was just dealing with her, and I said to my daughter, I said, well, if you can't get along with what we got going on, then how about you go take a nap? Now, mind you, she don't take naps anymore. I'm guilty. I do monitor when she needs one and when dad needs a break, so I say, go take a nap. Right? In this particular instance, her attitude was stink, so I told her, go take a nap. She went upstairs, and she was up there for about 5-10 minutes, maybe. And, you know, you could tell from another parent to a parent when you said something that kind of hit home with another parent, because they give you that nod, like, yeah. You got it. What a guy said to me, he didn't say anything. He just kind of gave me the nod while he's doing his measurements of the floor, and he kind of looked up. And so as he's there, we're going through the conversation about the floor, about what we're looking to do, and he's continuing to do his job. And then somewhere in the midst of that conversation, it started to change. The Spirit of God started to move. And I didn't really recognize that what was going on at a particular time. I'm just usually used to just having conversation with people. I'm a hybrid. I'm kind of, sometimes I could be an extreme extrovert, and sometimes I could be an extreme introvert. And usually when I'm in my home, I'm just doing my thing. I'm not really worried about whatever's going on. I'm just kind of being who I am. But he and I started to have a conversation. And I shared with him that I had, my honey-do list was growing from the time that I had retired. Yes, I said retired. I'm 44. God made it possible for me to be able to retire. And he looked and said, he said, how old are you? I said, 44. He said, man, I'm 46. You beat me out. And somewhere in there, we started to have a different conversation. We started to talk about some different things, and he went on to talk about who he was, you know, in the scheme of being Catholic and Christian and blah, blah, blah. And I don't get off into all that. I believe in Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what I believe. Amen? So he finished the job of doing that, and then all of a sudden he said, hey, I got to go outside and take this phone call. And I'm like, okay. I'm in the kitchen still doing my fatherly Mr. Mom thing, washing dishes, and a partner of mine called. I got a text message, and then all of a sudden my phone went off again. I got another text message. And this text message ties into the first message, because this was him sending me the message. And it says, I snuck out because I'm not man enough for you to see me crying. I've had a few rough days, and I was growing very weary. Reached out to those I thought would at least listen, but everyone is so busy. You and your family helped me today, and I want you to know it meant more to me than I can explain. I was weakening, but you got my head back into what matters. I am man enough to tell you I love you and your family, and found my visit to your home inspirational. This gentleman came to my house to perform a job. And in the midst of him performing the job that he came to perform, God had a different plan. See, we actually could have really missed each other. Took my sons to the barbershop. The guy called me 15 minutes after I get to the barbershop and tells me that he's at my house. I'm like, oh, man, I just got to the barbershop. We won down. He says, ah, don't worry about it. I'm going to go ahead and grab lunch. You call me when you're done. So I call him. Sure enough, he's sitting in front of my house when I pull up. We cannot be so busy, brothers and sisters, that we forget to live as a living sacrifice, right? I mean, God says that our life should be like a letter, like an epistle. And God is writing the story. the good, the bad, and the other, right? I know we don't want people to see the bad times, but it's okay, because the Bible is full of them with men and women of God, the bad times. But it's when we decide to decrease in that and allow for him to increase within us that we can really see God move. See, I was struggling. I can admit it. I was struggling to bring a message this morning because I was in my own way. I was in my own way. That gentleman sent me that text that I read you first this morning because he told me he was coming to church. He was here in the first service, and I felt compelled. I felt the need to embrace him as a brother should, because he was hurting. He was reaching out. And because the people that was in his circle he couldn't connect with, he found it comfortable enough to reach out to a perfect stranger and share his heart. And I told him, I said, I'm not one that you got to be ashamed to cry before me, because I'll cry with you, my brother. It don't take away from me being a man and who I am. I'll cry with you, because I know I've shared some tears for God before, and I have no problem with shedding them again. God does what he wants to do with my life, and I'm okay with that. I didn't used to be, because I didn't accept him as Lord. I didn't used to be. I wasn't always open to it. Why? Because it felt uncomfortable to allow for God to do only what he wants to do, only what he can do. I didn't know that man's story. I don't know what he was going through. I don't even know what the issues is to this day. And guess what? I don't have to. God knows. But something God said through me touched him right where he was, right? I've been there. I've been hurting. I've been down and out. I felt depressed. I felt like nobody was there, right? But God meets us right where we need to be met. Only God can do that. I told that brother, I said, you know, this was a divine appointment. He said, man, you just don't know. You helped me. You helped me 100%. I said, no, you helped me 1,000%. Because whatever I was writing up until that point was really null and void, right? I had a whole lot of nothing to say. But God never, ever did that, never, ever placed a message that clear and brought it to my doorstep, right? I was so floored by the gentleman, even for him showing up this morning. I had goosebumps all week. I couldn't wait to share. Because sometimes I'm not present. Sometimes I'm not in the moment. Sometimes I'm thinking about a whole bunch of other things that I need to get done within that 18-hour window if I sleep 6 hours or whatever it may be. But I'm trying to compress all of these different things that I have to do. So sometimes I'm not allowing myself to be that living sacrifice. Sometimes I'm not allowing myself to hear what the Spirit of God is saying that he wants to share, yes, to a perfect stranger. Sometimes I'm trying to have the right words too much. I'm trying to line them up in too much of an order to make sure that I hit all the right dots. Well, sometimes I need to just let go. Sometimes I need to just die. Sometimes I really just need to get out of God's way. Because God can do a whole lot with a whole little, and I'm not. He don't need any of this. He desires to do it. As Brother Kemp, Pastor Kemp said a couple of weeks ago, he desires to do what? To be mega in your world, right? He don't desire for us to build ourselves up to say that what we are, we're this big man. No, he desires to be mega in our world. And he works through small situations and sometimes big. But we have to yield. We have to be submissive. We have to surrender. And I thank God for Chuck when he came this morning, because, again, it was a blessing. But I'm also thanking God because, God, you up to something. You connected me to this guy for not just for a reason of preaching a sermon on a Sunday morning. It's got to be something else to this, and I can't wait. God is awesome, brothers and sisters. if we continue to be mindful that we're to live daily as a sacrifice unto him. It says, because he's holy, and that is God's perfect will for you and I. Ben, I'm going to ask that you will come back up. You know, it's not the first time that I would say that I felt that God was using me, but in this capacity, I've never had that happen before. And I know that sometimes we can be so busy ourselves that when God is showing his hand, when God is trying to move, let's move with him. Amen? Because he don't move in that traditional place. I know we used to tradition as men, but sometimes God just want to be God, right? Sometimes he don't need the stage to be set a certain way, right? The table. He just needs for us to yield. Amen. He just needs for us to allow for him to be Lord and do what he has to do. And it's okay that we don't understand it. It's okay that we can't comprehend it, right? Travis Green made that song, "You Made a Way," right?
Yes.
It doesn't matter. I'm standing here only because you made a way.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's what God desires to do in each one of our lives. He wants to be great, and he wants you to put him on showcase. Pastor Brian said it about a month ago. God gives honor, and he receives honor, right?
Yeah.
So it's a vicious cycle. The more honor that God gives, the more honor we need to give God.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Amen.